You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And one of those equipped in the Bible is Timothy. And Paul says to Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from truth, turn aside to myths. But then Paul says to Timothy, you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And then Paul makes a farewell speech in which he makes clear that he knows what is going to happen. He knows that he's going to be poured out like a drink offering. But he's fought the good fight, he's finished the race, and he kept the faith. And then says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. Do you long for his appearance? And when he appears, will you be found faithful and fruitful? As believers, he has left us here for a reason. It isn't just to mark time, it's to make a difference. Not just a temporary difference, but a difference of eternal significance. It's why we ask people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially, to touch the lives of people, not to give to us, but through us, to be equipped. And right now, to equip you, has God spoken? This book will give you proof of the Bible's divine inspiration. Available for your gift to the ministry. You can check it out online at equip.org. It's prepared in memorable form so that you can not only read, but remember. And if you can remember and recall, you can use the information to reach people while there's yet time. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Joey, listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Joey.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My thing is, we talk about the Bible. What is the best place to start to get back to Jesus and God's Word? I mean, we could start from Genesis, but would that be the right place to start?
Well, I mean, all of Scripture is God-breathed. But I think for new believers, there are sometimes good things to start with. The Gospel of John, I think, is a wonderful place to start reading the Bible. But one of the things I've laid out is a legacy reading plan that teaches new believers and people that have been in the faith for a long time to read the Bible not in bits, but rather in books, and read those books in such an order that you start getting the imprint of the author. Because though all Scripture is God-breathed, God worked through human beings, and their personalities and their styles come out. So I think it's very helpful to read the Bible using a plan like the Legacy Reading Plan, which, by the way, I have as an appendix in Has God Spoken?
I know, like, Job is one of the best books I used to love to read when you have so many people saying how they suffered, and Job suffered a lot, and he got a lot back from God because he believed in God so much, and, you know, when people told him not to believe in God, he still did.
Yeah, and I think that Job is great to gain this eternal perspective as a new believer, to realize more and more deeply that we are living with eternity in mind. The famous words of Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Again, he was looking to God because he didn't have an answer to all the problems that he had.
Right.
Because God doesn't always answer the why question. He teaches us to trust him in the midst of our whys. But as a new believer, I think that there are books like John that are a great place to start. But with the Legacy Reading Plan, you can jump in at any time and just follow the plan and learn to read the Bible, as I said, in books, not just in bits. Because if you don't understand the sustained argument that a biblical author is making, you can often miss the meaning.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. If you want to hang on, I'd be happy to send a copy of the Legacy Reading Plan to help out in that way. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Reed in Tennessee. Hi, Reed.
How are you doing?
Good.
Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
I have a question. I heard the caller call in and ask you about the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that the rapture would not take place before tribulations.
No, what I say with respect to a pre-tribulational rapture is that it's a fairly new idea in church history, and that because it's new doesn't mean it's not true, but you should examine it carefully to see if there's a biblical precedent for teaching it.
And what is your opinion on?
Well, I don't see it anywhere in the biblical text.
What is the text?
Well, that's my point. I don't know anywhere in the biblical text that it's taught, and the passages that are typically used to teach a pre-tribulational rapture, Revelation chapter 3 or John 14, as well as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But if you actually go to the passage or memorize it as I have, you find that there is no pre-tribulational rapture taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In fact, quite to the contrary, it teaches the great and glorious truth of resurrection.
But why is everybody I know, and every church I know, and you see it on TV through preachers and evangelists, that everybody is preaching that the rapture is near and close?
Well, I think there are a lot of people that hold to this idea that God has two distinct people, and that those two distinct people have two distinct plans, which necessitates two phases of the second coming, a secret coming, a tribulation, and then a second coming after 7 years. So I think the idea itself is imposed on the scripture, and that's how that paradigm comes about. I don't think it comes from a natural reading of scripture. I'm certainly open-minded, and I have listened carefully to those that teach it and discuss this matter with them thoughtfully, but I have not had anyone show me. For example, Tim LaHaye is very clear that John 14 adamantly teaches a pre-tribulation rapture. But if you go to John 14, I don't know how you can find one there. Certainly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I mean, you don't have a secret coming there, followed
so
by
Are the majority of the people, are they believing a false truth?
Well, the timing of the tribulation and the meaning of the millennium are secondary issues, but I certainly do not think that these are things taught in the scripture. In other words, I think it's something that you're imposing on the scripture rather than taking from the scripture. If you read Revelation chapter 20, it talks about 1,000 years, but again, you want to learn to mine the Bible for all its wealth. You have to understand Revelation chapter 20. The only place that supposedly this 1,000-year semi-golden age is taught. But when it's taught, it's always taught along with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices. And again, if you listen to Tim LaHaye, he believes those sacrifices are actually efficacious for ceremonial uncleanness, which is to say they atone for sin. Again, I disagree with that point of view, and I don't think that the thing we want to go back to is animal sacrifices, but remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take communion. This do until I come again. And of course, the hope for all of us the certainty that the Bible communicates is that Jesus Christ will appear a second time. And Jesus made that clear. When he does, all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be condemned. I take that literally. I think Jesus Christ is coming back, and when he does, all who are in the graves will come out. And therefore, I disagree with those that say that there's going to be the pre-tribulational rapture of saints who have died, and those who are alive, of course, at the time of a pre-tribulational rapture. No, Jesus said, when he comes back, all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be condemned. And I don't see a secret coming in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In fact, what you see there is the Lord comes down with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. But again, these are matters that we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over them. I've written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chuck in Springville, California. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Hank. First of all, I'd like to get in a plug for the Bible Answer Man Christian Research Institute. Just this week, I had a visit from a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses, and I was able to gently steer the conversation to who was Jesus.
Oh, yes.
They insisted Michael the Archangel.
Yes.
So we went to Matthew 22, along about verse 44 and 45, and I asked, well, who did David call Lord? And they said, well, Jesus did. Say, we know we've got people waiting in the car. We need to go. So I appreciate
well done.
I appreciate your ministry and the way you have prepared me to share my faith.
Thank you.
The emphasis on gentleness and respect.
Amen.
I need that. But my question is, Jesus Christ, of course, was 100% divine. When he took on humanity, he voluntarily limited himself. And I'm wondering if a reasonable analogy would be that when Muhammad Ali was at the height of his prowess, if it would be like if he just tied one hand behind his back and gotten in the ring. He still had the full power, but he chose to limit himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think in principle that's right. I mean, Jesus Christ set aside the prerogative for independently using his divine attributes, but as you're alluding to, he didn't divest himself of a single attribute of divinity. Otherwise, his atonement would have been insufficient because as God, his passion on the cross was sufficient to atone for the sins of the whole world. As man, he identified with us in our humanity as the second Adam who did what the first Adam could not do.
Right. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't too far out in left field there.
Well, I mean, I think it's good to try to use analogies to which people can relate. And I think it's also wise to make the qualification that in your experience, most analogies break down, but maybe this is a way to humanize it or to give someone an idea of what you're talking about.
Okay, thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. And thank you for your kind words and for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to David listening in Oklahoma. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I had a question. I spoke today with a co-worker who was a Seventh-day Adventist.
Uh-huh.
We talked about three or four different topics, but the one I want to go home and do some research on is the Sabbath day, Saturday or Sunday, and I thought I'd call that you kind of educate me right quick.
Well, I mean, I think what the issue here is a recognition that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the types and shadows, and that it is in Jesus that we have our Sabbath rest, and therefore, for the early Christian church, the most dangerous snare to avoid was a failure of recognizing that it was in Christ we have our Sabbath rest. And the reason we are celebrating on the first day of the week is simply in honor of the central pillar in the historic Christian faith, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I think it's important, too, to look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2 for those who have the opposite point of view, which is that they want to worship on Saturday as opposed to Sunday. I find no problem with that whatsoever, as long as you don't fail to recognize that it is in Christ that you have your Sabbath rest. In other words, so the emphasis is in the right place. But Paul says, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And what's great about that passage is Paul presents a descending order, as it were, from annual to monthly to weekly celebrations. And therefore, what's in view when he talks about a Sabbath day is a weekly Sabbath. And again, the issue that Paul is underscoring is that Jesus is the substance. Jesus is the reality. And a failure to recognize that would be missing the point entirely.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gary, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Blessed, I'm sure. I have a question for you, but first I'd like to give you a little background about this person. He lives here in my apartment building, and he is very faithful to the Lord in his faith and his zeal and his love and his service.
Mm-hmm.
He also preaches here in the cafeteria in the basement every week. Sometimes he has 10, sometimes he has 2, sometimes he has no one. But he preaches his sermon all the way through for the benefit of those who might be hearing him in the lobby.
Wow.
And he's been doing this for 5 years that I've been here, and without fail. I mean, this guy is in love with the Lord and in doing everything he can every day to be faithful and serve in his service as well. Now, the problem that I have with him is that he's a oneness Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't believe in the Holy Trinity. Now, I don't know how to take that. Is this man born again? Is he going to make heaven? I don't know how he stands with the Lord. I can't figure that out. I know there are scriptures that says, if you don't have the Father, then you don't have Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the Father. So how do we interpret that?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's the absence of truth that damns. It is the despising of truth that damns. And ultimately, I think what is required in cases like this is great humility, which is to say that when I come to the Bible, I would very much like to remake Christ in modalistic terms, because that's something that I can identify with as a human being. But I think what we have to do, rather than trying to remake what we read, is simply bow ourselves before God's self-revelation, which is to say the Bible is clear when it says that there's only one God. Polytheism just isn't a part of biblical thought. The Bible is also clear in saying that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and then crystal clear in saying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct, such that the Father sends the Son prays to the Father never becomes the Son. So it's not a matter of modes, it's a matter of persons and personal self-distinctions within the Godhead. Now, I freely confess, as I've said on the show many times, that this is beyond my comprehension. It's only something that I apprehend in Scripture, and I'm willing to bow my knee as a human being, a finite human being, before that revelation of God. And therefore, I say, though I don't comprehend it, I apprehend it, and thus I have this wonderful notion for the rest of my life, I'll be exploring the majesty of the God who has identified himself in Scripture, and even in eternity, when I, as it were, see him face to face or have requisite knowledge of God, even then I will spend an eternity seeking to comprehend the vastness of the one who saved me by his grace. So I think all too often we have a prideful notion that we can comprehend the God who saves us. And in doing that, we diminish God. He is far greater than our comprehension. And he never gives us something that is illogical, whereby we have to believe a contradiction. He does sometimes, however, clearly manifest the mystery that we will be exploring for all eternity.
Amen. Can I ask you one more quick question?
Yeah.
I've heard you speak about the rapture. And I just want to ask you if you could explain to me what about the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about that event. Could you explain to me what that means? It was not a rapture as it seems to be, What does it mean?
Well, certainly there's nothing in that text that communicates a pre-tribulational rapture, the notion that Christ comes down, hovers in midair, reverses course, and takes Christians up to heaven with him. What that passage is, and I would counsel you to go to the passage and read it in context, Paul's talking to people about the resurrection, and he's saying that because of the resurrection, we do not have to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope, because those who have died are not going to be left in their graves. In fact, they're going to precede us, and then we're going to meet them, as it were, in the air, and therefore we'll be with the Lord forever. The picture is very analogous to what we have in Revelation chapter 21. God comes down to be with us, and as he's coming down, we greet him. But God himself, as the text says, will live with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.